There's constant movement among those that worship the Lord. I believe when we get to heaven, it'll be a continuation, glorifying God. That's why the Bible says, clap unto your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Lift up your holy hands. For God has given us the ability to exalt him, and I'm glad about it. Amen. I'm glad about it. It is in the first of God's word in the book of Genesis that God said these words: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Everybody say nothing. Empty. That's our life outside of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Empty. And I love the word of God as it began to scribe on the outset for us to being able to get a glimpse of how God works. And this is how God worked from the very outset. We see it. The Bible says this, that God, the Spirit of the Lord, moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. It's not one without the other. It's not God's word alone, nor his spirit moving alone. But it was by his spirit moving and his word being spoken that we see creation exist. And with that, if God is ever to do something great in our life, or is he ever, if we want God to desire God to do more in our life, we need both. We need the Spirit of the Lord to move and a work of the Spirit, and we also need the spoken word of God. Amen. And I believe that that should be every one of our efforts as we seek to pursue and glorify him, exalt his name. That should be our pursuit. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight, and I'm thrilled once again to be able to preach. It is especially good to see Brother Pentecost. Amen. You know, growing up, I knew I went to the church. Then I got to meet some people whose name went by that, and I just thought that was, didn't know what my name all held and what it meant as a young boy, but my goodness. Often I think of you, Brother Jerry, you and Sister Karen and your wonderful family, and am strengthened by it, and God bless you. It is certainly unbelievably great to have some of our closest friends here tonight. Sean and Stephanie Boutwell and their wonderful children. I sing often to them, especially the youngest. She is special, as well as Claire and Emmy and Ryland. And we just have a great time. And I thought, Sean, a while ago, I said, we've ridden roller coasters together. We've sat many times in a ball stand together, but now we get to be in church together. I'm just excited, man, and I'm thrilled that they. I told them, I said, "You've heard me in the stands. You need to come hear me behind a pulpit." And they pretty much know me as me. So I'm certainly glad to not only have them in here tonight, but have their friendship. They are some of the greatest people and wonderful Christians, and we just love them and enjoy them. And it's also good to have Hayden. Hayden is a special friend of Braley's. Special friend of Braley's. But he is one great young man. And Hayden, I will say this publicly for you, brother. I say it to my wife. You're a wonderful young man. And I'm glad that you have a good friendship with my daughter. Don't worry, we've had many discussions. Amen. Well, somebody say praise God. I don't know about you, but I am still enjoying this wonderful, wonderful Christmas season. And the message this morning, as my heart turned to once again, the word of the Lord, I could not help but glimpse into celebrating Jesus. And I'm telling y'all, around Christmas season, I just sing Christmas carols every day, and I exalt the Lord every day in this season. And I'm just glad the weather has chilled down a little bit so we can enjoy the spirit of it a little bit more. But there's nothing like the Christmas story to me during this season. I really enjoy this. I know the necessity also of the Easter season. But every time it gets close to Easter, my stomach gets in knots and wrench, just because I know the story and I want to live the story during those times. But the Christmas season, obviously, it does have the same significance and value, but it's into another element and degree. And so I want to turn your attention again to the book of Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter, in the seventh verse. And I will read a portion of the scripture of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and the fourth verse. The Bible says this in Luke 2, and we'll move back into the sixth verse. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and the fourth verse, this particular scripture that caught my attention some years ago. And it says simply this, the wise man that Solomon was, he said, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase, everybody say much increase, is by the strength of the ox. By the Lord's help, I would like to preach tonight that God is faithful to work in the mess. God is working in the mess. Let's pray that God would have his hand right now upon this word. I pray in Jesus' name that you would minister according to your goodness and faithfulness. I pray, Lamb of God, that you would touch and strengthen me, O Lord. At this moment, let me deliver this word, God, with your anointing. I pray in Jesus' name over the hearer. I pray, God, that we would receive this word into our hearts and into our lives, into our minds, and let your spirit do a work in the name of Jesus. Amen. At the building of Solomon's temple, all the stones were cut. Not in this necessarily where the temple was being built. It was not. It took 7 years to build Solomon's temple. And great planning went on, if you know the Bible, where David would collect all the material. But Solomon was the one that was appointed to do the construction and the building of that temple. And during this time, as the temple was being placed together and being built, it was quite notable that nothing of a hammer, or in our age and day, if we can parallel it, a skill saw. Nothing of that was going on or taking place at the temple site. It was done all off-site because no hammer was to be heard and no dust was to be placed upon the floor of the temple. And I'm just trying to make it where we live. It was supposed to be something of precision, and they did things in that quarry, and they would take rock, and they would cut, and they chisel, and they would sand, and they would polish, and necessarily they would be putting a puzzle together off-site, and then they would get it into the temple site, and there was nothing necessarily where it could go wrong as far as the hammer, but in the quarry, in where it was all happening, I could only imagine necessarily what that must have looked like. What it must have looked like is there was directions being given. This needs to be cut this way, and we need to make sure that measurement is done this manner. And I could only imagine during the quarry, or sitting in that quarry and looking and seeing all the majesty of what Solomon's temple was going to be like, and the minds wondering of it's going to be beautiful when it's all said and done. Could you imagine? Something that was to be declared that people would come from far to see, and is still Herod, the beauty and majesty of that temple. What would it have been like, Brother Jerry, if you were at work in the quarry and your mind expanded of what it would look like? I can tell you this, that can be pretty much a parallel thing of what we are in today and what shall be when we get over there. We should not expect in this lifetime to be in the place of everything's put together just right. And every day is going to go just right. And everything in our life is going to measure just right. Can I tell you that while we're on this earth and while we're living life, we will be living in the quarry. As the song said when we were kids and we sung it in children's church, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And if I know he's still working in my life and he's working in my family and on me, I can have faith that he's working in every situation that's going to take place. I've told people many times some of the questions in life, I don't have the answers. That's why we're going to understand it better by and by. That's one reason why I'm going to look forward to getting over there when all the questions will have answers and everything will be understood of why the sovereignty of God, he did what he did. I just need to make sure my faith is holding on and I'm holding to that unseen hand because God will see us through. 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, the Bible says, "And the house, when it was building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither. So that there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor tool, nor iron head in the house while it was in building." At this Christmas season, as I parallel or sort of echo this morning's worship service and message, that stable was not nice and neat. Mary didn't have a beautiful baby room to bring Jesus home to. There wasn't no baby shower. There wasn't anything of the such. The smell of the manure and the animals brought to life even more anguish of what is going to happen, folks. Mary and Joseph had to trust in the Lord. And I believe no matter what and where we're at in life, God's going to see us through because I can know and understand that he's always at work. When the mess is going on in our life and chaos is going on in our life, I can take heart that God is at work. There's much increase with the ox, but when the ox is gone, the crib may be clean, but there's no increase. Sean, I'm glad you're here. It's a wonderful illustration. He hauls cattle. You would hate to see your trailer clean for a month straight, right? That wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be good for my uncle that ran a dairy farm. Something about it. There's mess involved. There's craziness involved. There's the unknown involved. But I can tell you, God always is at work when there's chaos going on. He's not disturbed. Take strength. We are in a quarry. We're getting molded and made. We may not understand it, but our faith, if we allow our faith to grab a hold of God, Bible says he's given every man a measure of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... Build up your faith, praying in the... Exodus 25 and 18 says, "And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shall thou make them. In the two ends of the mercy seat." When you looked at the mercy seat, beautiful as the cherubims and the angels. As the cherubims and the angels had their wings touching, facing toward each other. And what our images could see as people try to make replicas of that. Beautiful. I get awed by the Ark of the Covenant. But we understand that the beauty of that ark, where the presence of God would be placed behind the holies of holies and that veil, and where the mercy seat stood, there was a lot of beating going on. There was a lot of banging going on. There was a lot of work going on in that quarry before it got to where it needed to be. We're going to get where we need to be and where God wants us to be. But we may have to suffer some of that beating. We may have to suffer some of that anguish. We may have to suffer some of those days that just aren't wishful days. I don't like losing. But every now and then a good loss will do you good. He's ever been on a team where you're high and mighty and you've won a few? Ashton and Rollins not shaking their heads, yes. These are good kids, by the way. Some of the best. But I've been on a few teams. I hesitate to tell a sad, sad story, but I'll go ahead and tell it. God bless their hearts. The group that is right behind Ashton and Rylan is Eli. Eli that comes to church. Not Elijah, I call him Eli, good night. Elijah Humphrey. His little group is a really, really, really good group of kids when it comes to ball. I don't know how they are elsewhere, but they're pretty talented. And they rolled in football season. I mean, brother, they put it on them. Every game, no matter the opponent. It didn't matter if all the other teams at Chisholm lost. They won. We're looking like, you got the head football coach in their game doing, you know. I couldn't imagine our varsity coach doing that to us. That was a great team. I mean, it was crazy. And, I mean, they were good. They still are good. Came down to the last game. And they thought they had already won the district championship. And all of a sudden we find out they hadn't won the district championship yet. And I told you a sad story. And they got out there, and they were going to have T-shirts made, and they were going to put them shirts, Brother Jeff, on after they won. Last game of the season didn't go as planned. Now, I don't know about you, but I get mad, Sterling. Sterling, you don't get mad. You about like me. Hayden's sort of like me, too. Or I'm like him. We all are getting good. I mean, it's good. But there's something about it that when you feel the brunt force of a loss, when you feel a punch of the enemy, you're going to do one or two things. You're going to go down or stay down, or there's going to be something that gets into you, that gets into your soul, gets into your mind, heart. I will not suffer a defeat like that again. Life will kick you. Life doesn't care about you. Thank God Jesus told us life's not fair. It's full of trouble and trial. And it's a mess. But I can take heart that God is at work even in that mess. My marriage may not be what it needs to be, but God is at work. My family may not be everywhere they need to be, but God is at work. I may be going through struggle and trial and craziness, and I don't want to tell anybody, but God is faithful to be at work in the mess and in the chaos. He is faithful. The living testimony. You're the living testimony. I hate that you had to go through all that stuff, but thanks be to God, He's written the last pages. Thanks be to God. It wasn't over. Yesterday, we had to do a little this morning. We had to do a little rearranging and moving around of a pig pen. We got pigs again, folks. And I got into that little 4x6, 4 foot high, hit your head on it, you know, if you're not careful getting in there, with 3 pigs. Well, right before the rain, I said, well, I'm going to get in here and see if they're warm. We don't want to get them sick. And I got in, they had a little heat lamp. They had little shavings. They were all covered up on 4 sides of that wall. I thought, well, this ain't that bad. Obviously, I'm thinking of the prodigal son. This ain't that bad. Well, then it started getting cold and getting wet. So this morning, I look at them, and I see all their bedding. They've already got it into the ground. There's nothing there. Mud is everywhere. Cold mud when they're young, so we can't get them sick. Well, Brian, I got into that thing this time, like, whoa, that's a difference. That's a difference. I can tell you, I can fool myself and say, hey, it ain't that bad. But when worse comes to worse and it gets a little crazy, God is sitting there at work in the middle of it all. Some of the darkest nights that I've had in my life, I've spent evenings in on my stomach in prayer in a living room trying to find an answer from God. And I've been spent nights, as many as you had, or early morning hours walking the house praying, God, I need you. And I'm thankful today that God had the last say in that situation, that he's faithful to work in all of the chaos that goes on in our world. Can remind you this, God has tied himself to us. He has tied himself to us with over 7,000 promises in his word. Let me repeat a statement I often say when I preach. God has more promises than the devil has lies. God has more promises than the devil has lies. No matter how many lives the devil has, God's got a couple of promises to back his word up. He's faithful to us, folks. Let me show you a little bit of in the word of God about his faithfulness. I love the Bible character named Seth. How many know Seth? Boy, this is great. I get to teach. I love the Bible character, Seth. The reason why I love that Bible character of Seth is because the Bible says this, that God gave them another son. You see, at the outset of God's word, there was a lot of mess going on. I mean, we have murder charges we've got to deal with from the beginning. It did not take long to have a bunch of chaos going on. I mean, we read that Bible, we read that story in the Bible because we know it, and we read it and we don't digest it. Folks, I'm telling you, they were just getting started in this world, and we've got murder charges we got to deal with. Not only that, you have to understand, but because the one that was killed, the lineage of Jesus Christ was cut off right then and there. Done. The promise of the Savior in Genesis 3 and 15 was whoosh. But God's faithful. Cain, where's your brother? Cain, what happened? Abel, whoosh, taken out of the picture. And all of a sudden, the promises of just Genesis 3 and 15 is stopped by the enemy. But the Bible says God gave another son. Whew. The very next chapter, God gave another son, and his name was Seth. And because you have God being faithful to work in that mess, because you have God being faithful, and Seth came Enoch, Methuselah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, all of the lineage of Jesus Christ, because God was willing to show us that he is faithful to his word. Could you imagine the enemy? How excited they were, how excited the devil was to sniff out the very lineage on the outset. Whew. How many times has he tried to stop? How many times has he tried to... It looks like the picture if we'd stop the story right then. How many's ever been reading a book and you had to stop reading the book for whatever reason, and it was right there at a point... What's going to happen next? Can I tell you? I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know the one that holds the next in his hand. If he's the same God of yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says that he is behind us, he's with us, and he's before us, and yet he hadn't moved. My thinking gets into... Whew, and it blows my mind that God's faithful to his children. Where there's no oxen, the crib is all clean and pretty. But with oxen, there's mess, but there's increase. What our problem is, and I'm not going to preach much longer, but what our problem is I like increase without the mess. Boys, I like the wins without the practices. Really, I don't, but most do. I got Ashton a little DVD. I'm going to front you. Go ahead. Don't worry. Got him a little DVD of basketball drills. And we watched a couple of them together. I asked him today, I said, have you done them? He goes, no. What's your problem? You don't like it? I mean, I paid $7. Give me my $7 back. For the most part in life, we like the increase without the mess. I asked Pastor Meyer one time when I was a youth pastor. I said, wouldn't it be nice if somebody gave us a bunch of money and we were able to build a church and they just gave it to us and it was debt-free and all that? He said, no. Here you go with wisdom, Pastor. Y'all know how it is. The obvious is not obvious, is it? And then you walk away and you're like, why didn't I think of that? He's like, no. Well, why not? Didn't ask it like that, but that's the way I was feeling. He said, let me tell you something. If there's no struggle, there's no appreciation. Unless we struggle, there's no way to appreciate. Unless the difficult days take place, there's no way to appreciate a good day. Unless we have those times in our life, that's, I don't know. Those times in my life that Sandy's came to me and wanting to know the answer, and I've had to look at her, I don't know the answer. All I know is we need to stay faithful. Those times in my life I've looked at my kids and Daddy don't know what the next step is. The only way that I'll appreciate heaven. We want heaven down here, folks. It's not going to be that way. He didn't design it that way. Heaven's going to be heaven because of what we face in the quarry of life down here. The turmoil, the beating, the battering, the bruising. Jesus Christ wanted a church, but he had to purchase it. And the only way that he could purchase it is to take the death that every one of us deserved. But he was the only one that was able to take it. The only way that Jesus Christ, you have to understand, get your mind with this stuff. God owned everything. Why did he have to purchase you? Come on, my mind gets spinning on this stuff. He owned everything. Why did he have to purchase you? Because of sin. Because sin came into the world, and when he created Adam and Eve, he created them with the ability to choose. And the only way that the true love was going to be given to him and worship was going to be given him is if he had a choice. You don't want to know why evil takes place in this world? Why the horribleness takes place in this world? You can't experience love unless you have the opposite of it. Next, experience peace. Unless you have the opposite of it. And I can't experience what that love is like that God designed unless I see and feel or taste a little bit of the opposite of it. That's why my heart gets excited. That's why I get excited when I think about heaven. And that's why I get excited when I think about God. And if you turn the cue on me, I'll talk about the Word of the Lord for 2 hours straight. I'm telling you. I have a little Bible study partner. He was supposed to be here, but he wasn't able to be here. But 2 hours went by. I said, man, we got to go. It was just, whew. I said, we can stay here all day. I get excited. Why? Because I tasted enough of that to appreciate this. God is saying, I'm going to build something, and I'm going to increase your life, and I'm going to do a new thing, and I'm going to give you fresh revelation and understanding, and my word's going to come to life even more, and you're going to understand even more about me and what I want to give to you and what I've designed for you. You may have a struggle. You may have a struggle with it all, but I'm going to be faithful. There's much increase in the mess. There's much increase in the turmoil and the frustration. God's still at work, and He's still providing, and He's still making a way where there seems to be no way. He is faithful to His word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the word of God, and in his word he doeth meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The only way that you're going to have that season is to experience the winter of life. But keep your mind in God's word, and keep your spirit right with the Lord, and keep allow God to continue to work. And I'm telling you, quickly, very quickly, the illustration of Psalms 137. This is what the Bible says. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive requested for us a song. And they that wasted us required of us a mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And the response of God's people that were held captive in this story was this: how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Verse 6. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. What happened in the midst of that was that the people of God had experienced captivity. They were held captive. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be held captive. How many remembers when you played hide and go seek as a kid? And if you hid too long in your hind spot, you got a little antsy. Some of you young people remember how we'd turn off all the lights? Y'all remember that? Turn off all the lights. Play hide and go seek. It was so much fun when you get in the gymnasium. This used to be the gymnasium. And so much fun because it would be dark. No lights were on. They could see. And you could literally be this close to somebody. What do you do when all the, at least me, what do you do when the lights are out and you're walking? You ever notice it? Go home, turn off the lights tonight, and try to walk through your house, and you're going to find, if it's pitch dark, you're going to find yourself doing this. And we sit there in the darkness of it all. You get a little antsy, though, when you're held captive. The people of God were held captive. And they got so in distress because of the mess going on, they hung their instruments up on the willows. Put it away. No more playing. No more worship. No more praise to God. And they hung their harps on the willows. And when it came time that even the captives, those that had capped their captors, the enemy, play us a song out of Zion, we hung our harps on the willows back when the mess and the chaos was going on, and we don't have them no more. Can I tell you, no matter where you're at or what day you have going on in life, don't hang your commitments to God on the willows. Don't hang your relationship with God on the willow trees. Don't find yourself in the moments of disturbance and anxiety and depression and all this, and you place your commitment and your relationship with God and your dedication to the things of God and your worship unto the Lord, and you walk off, because there'll be a day you'll turn around and I left them
on the willows. Stay faithful to it. God's at work. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. No matter what. Musicians, you can come. I got a lot more up there. But no matter what. I know this in the Christmas season, as much as I enjoy the Christmas season is difficult for a lot of people. I realize that when I'm passing by people and I'm wondering what's going on in their life. I mean, a lot of the times when I pull up at an intersection in my vehicle, you look across the car and you're wondering what's all taking place. Go to Walmart and you wonder what's all going on in somebody's life. We were waiting in line and somebody behind me was getting frustrated that they had to wait in line. Does anybody like that? Anybody like to wait in line? Come on. But we gripe that we can't do no more front porch sitting with our neighbors and talk about nothing. Well, that's a good chance to talk about nothing to somebody while you're waiting in line with them. We may not sit on our front porch, but let that be the front porch sitting. So they're sitting there griping, and that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, you want to complain that there's no room or time to talk to a neighbor or talk to a stranger anymore. When I look and see all the things going on in this world, and this afternoon my heart was touched. This afternoon my heart was struggling a little bit. I found myself praying. I found myself crying tears. God, you've got to help. You've got to help. You've got to do a work. In the times that people experience things, I've found myself shedding tears. God, why? How come? What's the reason of it all? And sometimes I walk away and I don't know it. But I do know this, that the one that said, or it was said of, the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon the face of the nothing and the deep and the void. Nothing. The Spirit of the Lord that moved. And then God said, whew. And we see the beautiful creation. We see the beautiful creation. He still works the same way, folks. He still speaks and moves the same way. You see, to have the Word of God being spoken without a move of the Spirit and a work of the Spirit, it's not designed that way. And it's not designed that way to have a work of the Spirit and not the Word of God. He said, I want to do both. I want to do something. And when my Spirit and my Word operates the way it needs to be, there's fresh creation in your life. I have some things that I like to eat. Believe it or not. I know it's hard. But every now and then I like to taste something I've never tasted before. I wonder what that tastes like. And I'll eat it. A lot of times it's good and sometimes it's not. But when I sink my teeth into something that's new and that's wonderful, wow, that was good. I wonder if God wants to do that to our lives. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, He even has our five senses. Feel after the Lord. Is that what the Bible says? Hear the Lord call, but I often wondered about the smell. Does anybody ever wonder that, or am I just weird? Probably just weird. Sister Mary Lou, what about the smell? Is it taste, see, feel, hear? But the Bible says that He is the rose of Sharon. and the lily of the valley. Presence of God. We can reach out and grab hold of Him. And I wonder if God, as this year's beginning to close out, and we've had a little trouble in this year, we may have had a little chaos this year, we don't know what the next year holds, and there's still probably going to be struggle, strife, and trouble. But in the midst of it, God working in the mess of it all, and I'm going to climb a little higher in Him. Brother Matt, my commitment, I'm going to get a little higher in God. I'm going to walk with Him greater. I'm going to see Him even more. I'm going to experience something I've never had before. I'm going to say all is well in my soul. I may have a lot of things and struggles to climb up higher in God, but I can take heart. God is inviting me. As we all stand here tonight, again, I will echo the words. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what your family's dealt with. I'm not going to pretend to know. But God is faithful to His Word. And Proverbs said it that way. And it could see it in the manger. The manger wasn't pretty. The manger wasn't lovely. We look at the manger now and we see the beautiful nativity. But it wasn't the beautiful nativity when it happened. Get that into your heart. It wasn't the beautiful nativity while it was happening. He said, in this mess, I'm purchasing a church. I'm buying and purchasing you. My blood's going to be shed, and your remission of your sins is going to be given. And I'm telling you, the God of heaven and earth is faithful. Does anybody have any chaos and mess and craziness going on in your life this year? Anybody have any unknowns and question marks where you would like for there to be answered this year? This week, even this day, maybe? I don't know and I don't understand, but I want to close out this year and enjoy this Christmas season. Not because everything is all right, but because I know the Jesus that died for me, that came into this world and gave Himself unto me. I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know the mighty God that came down from heaven. I know the one who purchased me with His love and His blood. I know the one that says, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I will heal your sickness and disease. I know that one. And His name is Jesus. Isaiah 9:6, and I love it. Unto us a son is, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. My mind can't wrap around the prophets as they were seeing the birth of Jesus from hundreds of years away. Isaiah 9:6, and His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. They didn't know His name at that point. They could only describe who He is. When it came time, and on the eighth day, they brought Him into the temple for the rite of circumcision and the name to be placed. And His name is Jesus. Whew. I stand here tonight because of Him. I want to open up this altar for anybody that would like to come and pray. Come to seek the Lord. If you want to stay in your pew, it's fine by me. It doesn't make me any difference. If you'd like to find a place to pray, but I want you to receive strength here tonight. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what next week holds. You don't know what next year holds. You don't know. But I do know and will tell you this, that the mighty God is there to work in all of the mess. If you've never committed your life to the Lord, I encourage you to commit it tonight. I want us to lift up our hands and our hearts and our voices just for a moment. If you want to bow your knee in prayer, that's fine. But there's a God that would like to speak into your life and say, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm at work. When it's all said and done, it's not going to be decrease. It's going to be increase. If you will allow me to do a work in your life, I'm going to increase it. Singers, would you sing? For those that need to touch the Lord, I invite you to touch and reach out. He's real. He's here. He's moving. He's speaking.